And good afternoon, good afternoon, good afternoon. It is a Thursday, June the 21st, the first day of summer 2018. 15 minutes past the hour, you're tuned into WWGH Radio, and we have got two great guests on the program today I know you are going to enjoy. Going to do a little bit of housekeeping here, though. Do want to remind you, coming up next hour, 1:10 here on WWGH Radio, we are going to be joined by an actor best known for his role on the hit TV series Maud as Walter Finley, and in movies such as The Jerk and Analyze This. Bill Macy will be our guest next hour. You won't want to miss that. Also, our fair schedule has been released. WWGH Radio will be broadcasting live from the Marion County Fair, July the 2nd through the 6th, which is just a couple weeks away. Now, on Monday and Tuesday, we will be broadcasting live the harness racing from the grandstand. We will broadcast that from 10:10 in the morning until 3 o'clock in the afternoon, both days. And that event is supported by the committee to elect Jeff Ratliff prosecutor. On Wednesday and Thursday, the Charlie Evers Show will be live from Veterans Memorial Coliseum from 10 a.m. until 12 noon. And my program will be live from the Veterans Memorial Coliseum from 12:10 until 2 p.m. On Friday, Talk of the Town with Marge Hazelett will emanate from the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, 11:10 a.m. until 12 p.m. Exchange Club with Charlie, Marge, and myself will emanate from the same place, Veterans Memorial Coliseum, 12:10 to 1 p.m. And then the Charlie Evers Show, again, from Veterans Memorial Coliseum, Friday, July the 6th, 1:10 to 3 p.m. Now, during our live programs on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday, 4th, 5th, and 6th from the fair, if you stop by the WWGH booth in the Veterans Memorial Coliseum, we will be giving away tickets to Zumbezi Bay, the Columbus Zoo, the Wilds, Kosai, if you can answer trivia questions correctly. So stop by the booth, answer a trivia question correctly during those hours, and you could win a prize. Now, the first 300 people who come by the WWGH booth on Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday will receive a commemorative WWGH fair book, including a schedule of all the programs here on the station and pictures of things that we have done over the last 4 years and 1 month. So that's the Marion County Fair coming up on July the 2nd through July the 6th. Now, we're going to turn to a gentleman who I always enjoy having on the program. He is a legendary figure in the world of professional wrestling. He is a tremendous entertainer, a great thinker, philosopher, and really a human rights activist in so many ways, has opinions on a lot of things going on in the world and things that have gone on, stays very informed. So with a lot of things going on in the world, it is always a pleasure to welcome to these microphones here on the first day of summer to Thunderbolt Patterson. Thunderbolt, how are you?
Helen, hi to you, sir. Very good, thank you. And you?
Oh, doing very well. First day of summer, what does the summer months mean to you?
Well, as you say, this is the longest day of the year, I believe it is.
It is.
And summer means to me, you know, kids getting out of school and the communities coming together and doing things for the children and their community, teaching them to grow.
Now, when you were growing up, what were summers like?
Well, see, that's a heck of a thing there when you say when I was growing up. I was always grown, kind of. But, you know, I went to the YMCA. Summer was always when you could get outdoors and do a lot of things, you know, that you couldn't do in the wintertime. And it's a little different life of growing up. I never was a child too much, and it's not like it is now. You can leave your doors open. You didn't worry about someone taking your car, someone hitting your grandfather, father, or your grandmother, or pulling a purse, or just drive by shooting. None of that was going on then, Scott.
Yeah. What do you think has happened to society over the last 50 years that has changed it?
Oh, wow. There's a lot of things, man. You can't just boil it down to one. You know, I mean, it's the equation now. You know, first of all, you know, for the last 50, you know, we got problems. Boom. And it's all in the book and all and every problems. But the main thing, I believe, my thing is, you know, people just don't want to understand or believe or trust in God. And people has started so long ago telling their, letting their kids do what they want to do, telling their kids that if you don't do this or you don't do that, I'm going to call the police on you. That made police is like they were the bad guys, which they're not. We have to have law and order. And men not knowing how to treat their women. And it's all in the, from the home, and women not knowing how to treat their husband. You know, the education is great, and we need education. But there's a lot of things that we can live, that we can learn in the home and the community and in classes of things of trying to teach that we can't, you know, you learn in school.
When you were growing up, who was the person who taught you?
Hey, Scott, we're breaking up. We're breaking up a little bit
okay.
now.
Okay, is that a little better?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you good.
Okay, good.
When you were growing up, who was the person who taught you right from wrong?
Well, you know, that's a real good thing, man, because that's a deep question. Because when I was growing up, my sister raised me. My oldest sister, Jessie Lee Rogers Patterson. She raised me. She passed last year, this year, 92 years old. She raised me. And my oldest brother was a union man and worked at the Ralph Packing Company. So basically, because I didn't, at that time point, I didn't know my father. So at that point, my sister and my oldest brother, a union man and trying to help people. That's kind of where my background. But I got kicked out of school. I didn't. I mean, it's just rough. I was too grown, too quick.
You know, when we look back at those eras, back in the 40s, 50s, 60s, there was a lot going on in the world. This year is the 50th commemoration of the assassination of Robert Kennedy, Martin Luther
mm-hmm.
King Jr.
Mm-hmm.
You were working, 1968. What mm-hmm. was the world like for you traveling around the country with all these things going on?
And you say what year was that? 1968? 58.
68. Yeah, 68.
Yeah, okay. Well, it's 68. During that time, man, I was in and out of Detroit, and had just come back from Australia, had left Fort Worth and Dallas. I mean, some really deep stuff. Really deep stuff. Because you know, when Kennedy was shot, I was leaving my first home, my wife and my baby. We're going to Kansas City, where Bob Geigel gave me a break and Gus Cares gave me a break, and it was all type of chaos. A lot of places that I went in my early years was because of the violence, you know, like L.A. and Detroit and then Texas, and then what are they having violence to calm people's nerves and all, and the entertainment, you know. And it was just and when Martin got shot, I was working at I guess at that time I just breaking in and working at John Deere and wrestling a little bit and First Home and from that point on I really spent a lot of time with the movement, Reverend James Owen, known better as Shag Daddy. For folks that know him, they come up, we went all marched all over this country and all over Alabama and all over, and the worst thing that I really had was there in Texas where we were changing at a hotel, a motel. And the owner or whoever was running it told Dirty Dick was running the show tonight, Dirty Dick Rain. So told him that, well, everybody can come in but him and change. They didn't want me to come in and change, you know. So, and basically that was that. And then I also had a law officer to murder his wife and draw a composite of me, and they were looking for me. This is deep, man. Some deep things.
Absolutely. Now, when we look at that time, why do you think he drew up a composite that looked like you?
Well, that's amazing. That's amazing, yeah, man. I happened to be in Abilene, Texas. Abilene, and I was over really, really in there, and this I don't know why the guy done it, but he was a police officer. I mean, he was off sheriff, a police officer, and there was a guy that ran that area. Name was Don Slatton. He was a lawman, so he called Amarillo, Texas, and told Dory Funky, say, don't send Thunderbolt down here because they got a drawing of him and they got a warrant out for him for murder. And they wanted to, you better not send him down. And Dory Funk, being who he is and who he was, he said, no, I'm not going to send him. I'm going to bring him down. And so Dory Funk and I went down, but they caught the guy. They caught the sheriff. They went through his little scheme. That goes to show you, when you do things wrong, it's going to catch up with you. You got to treat people right. Even in this wrestling business, as much as all of the places that I've been, in the Ohio area, in the Michigan area, Florida area, Texas, I mean, all over. I mean, once you get on their bad side, they don't bring you back. And that's not good for the fans. That's just like the country. There's like people that are behind Trump right now because he's doing something. What and who is not saying things or haven't done something and said something that they shouldn't have said? You hear me?
I do. You know, Thunderbolt, last night I wrote an editorial, and it didn't so much have to deal with what was going on at the border, but it was inspired by that because the last couple days, anytime I would get on social media, people are just exercised about what's going on down at the border between Mexico and America. And basically what I said was, I said, you know, I don't know what political party people are members of. I don't know who they support. But somewhere along the line, we lost sight of what is right and what is wrong.
And, come on, boy.
Yeah. And we...
go ahead and say it. You said it. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, and
you're preaching some good stuff now, man.
Well, it struck me that we used to know right and wrong, and that's why we based our decisions. But now, if we like Trump or dislike Trump or like Obama or dislike Obama, that is how we make our decision We don't look at what's right and wrong.
Come on.
Yeah, yeah, and I
tell the truth.
I think.
And see that, and see that is what one of the things that is a big thing in the world. People, you know, everybody got a right to their own opinion. Everybody, and I mean, and everybody don't know. I don't know everything, and I mean, but I have my opinion. But if you just seek God first for some understanding, then you won't. Ain't nowhere in the world you can think as bad as you think. You know, when people, how people be killing people and what we need to have done people and whatever, and they talk about Christians or love someone. Come on, man. Come on, come on, come on. You know, I mean, and you know, they just won't give Trump the credit that he's, what he's already done. And he just caught all of them. Yeah, it is.
Yeah. I think it's interesting because I don't know what happened, but it's happened in recent times where it is all about how we feel politically and not what is right and wrong. You know, and nobody thinks that way in their own neighborhood. You know, maybe...
But Scott, you're going to always have haters.
That's true.
Or you're going to always have people that think they know everything.
Well,
and then you're going to always have that mentality of crab people. We're going to always have people that just want to stay in the box. Just don't want to get out the box. Afraid to get out the box. And then they're your best buddy don't want you to get out the box. Don't want you to go no further than him. Come on, man.
Well, and it's like our neighborhoods. How many times do we live in a neighborhood and we say, okay, I don't like that neighbor, but the lady down the street really does like that neighbor? Well, that's life. We all have opinions.
Right.
But when it comes to this political scene, all of a sudden, it is almost as if I am a Trump supporter, then I have to agree with everything he says.
No.
And that's wrong.
No. Well, see, that's just like being a wrestling a fan. You can't agree to everything. You can't go along with everything just because people don't know what they're doing. Some do and some don't. Everybody got different tastes. I mean, what's right, most people know right. But the power of that money and the power, I can't say the other thing, of that P, I can't say that, but those two things there has made man do a lot of things that just not right.
I think that's right, and I think there is a big disconnect right now because this border thing has really It's interesting because it happened and we separated the children from the parents, and somewhere along the line, the administration decided that that was not the proper thing to do, and yesterday President Trump signed an executive order to stop it.
Mm-hmm.
But what made me think about that, for 3 days, well, it's been going on for 2 months, but when everybody became aware of it, for 3 days, everybody said it was the right thing to do. But yet, Trump last night says, well, wait a second, we need to fix this problem and put the kids back with the parents. So this morning, people seem to be a little bit confused. Because, again, they don't know right from wrong. They're only looking to, well, okay, I like President Trump, so I have to agree with everything he says. It's everybody's prerogative to change their mind. I don't know why people don't understand that.
But you don't want nobody to everything you say, agree with everything you say. You don't want no yes person. You know, people and people are has got to the point where we choose who we want. We don't know anything ourselves, but we follow what they say. And see, those are some of the things that has made this country so bad, because we have went down the road so long mistreating, stealing, lying of everybody. I mean, like, hey, man, all is one. God don't look at color. One of my best friends was Al Velasco. You ever heard that name?
No, I haven't.
Well, he was a champ. Al Velasco from Mexico City. He was my best friend. And I mean, I this political stuff is all about money, man. It's all about money. I don't think no human being should be denied a treat. Justice delayed is justice denied. And I got some neighbors as of all type, and we all good people. I don't see color. I see that nasty devil color when they come out, when people start mistreating people. Whatever brings it to the point where people do things and don't know, but then they try to correct it, and do what, and that's what I see Trump trying to do. You know, trying to correct a lot of things that people had messed up and he didn't know them, blah, blah, blah. But we over in Korea, and we looking. Hey, come on, man.
What did you make of that whole meeting in North Korea?
We can fix this, man.
Yeah.
Nobody but Jesus. We have to lay down some of that stinking thinking. And treat people the way you want to be treated.
Why do you think?
You know, Scott. I can't wait, man. I can't wait to spend a few days with you, and to of all those fans up through there, and just talk about some things, and I like, you know, because there's so many things that this country and the great people that live in it, our fans, wrestling fans, you have actually horse racing fans, everything has their fans, and they're great people. And we just have to get the knowledge, the correct knowledge, the correct lingo, the correct of the whole thing, not just one little piece of thing. There's so many things. And I'm inviting any and everybody under the sound of my voice. I won't spend no days with you up there at that fair and all. Please come back. Let's talk about Jesus, whatever you want to talk about. But I would love to talk to you. Just touch your hand. I want, Scott, I want to make a promo for Jesus. Mm. And I want to praise and worship and take it where I've been. For Jesus. For understanding men and women to come together and their children and their family, of getting some understanding of there is hope. There is hope. But we have to hope for something, not just anything.
When in your life did Jesus come in?
Oh, man, that's deep. That's another deep. But it's two things. Two things. The best thing ever happened to me was falling in love with Jesus, because I thought there wasn't nothing but a woman. You understand? I'm from a very young age. I come up out there in them streets, and when God made woman, he didn't make nothing no better. But the best thing that ever happened to me, falling in love with Jesus and getting some understanding. And before I started wrestling, I thought I was called to preach, but I didn't want to play with it. And Reverend R.S. Rucker from Waterloo, Iowa, I'm from Waterloo, Iowa, told me, said, son, whatever you do, take Jesus with you. And at that point in time, I couldn't understand it fully. Because I jumped off in the fast lane, but God started showing me some things. And God kept me from there, just kept me, excelled, just kept me. And I understood, you know, and I often say in my life, if I have had a spiritual-minded lady or wife, I would have really been so much further in the ball game. Excuse me, man. I get kind of fooled sometimes when I start that.
No. I it's interesting. It's a great perspective because a lot of people out there, I think, are struggling with that in their own life right now.
Well, and that's a really good part. They're struggling with it, and they don't have to go alone. They need so much. You know. I mentioned to you that I had some fellows that sang praise and worship, and all of them have spent anywhere from 20 to 30 to 35 years in prison. And there's so many individuals that made bad mistakes, and there's so many people that want Jesus but don't know how to get it, don't know how. Or so many people call themselves, but don't get no understanding. And I believe that one of the strongest things that there is, places that there are, is the prisons. And all of the prisoners get families and girlfriends and boyfriends or whatever, kids, back home. The mass, what would you call it? Just coming together of bringing them people just some understanding. Whatever we've been dealt in life, we got to deal with it. But if we just turn it over to Jesus, man, I'm looking forward to seeing you and spending some time with you and trying to tell some people about Jesus.
It's going to be an amazing time period. But I do want to ask this, because I think this is also important. When you started in the professional wrestling business, it was a little different than when you left it. When did corporate America start to rear its head, in your opinion, in that business?
Cool, man. I get all that for you. I get all that. Those are the things that, when they give me the opportunity, I put on their Facebook. Like I told you, they shut me down. But, I mean, I would love to go just step back from where I got my understanding. See, normally when you're in the wrestling business, it takes you, if you're going to do anything or can do anything, it takes you about 5-6 years to really, I mean, I don't care how you come up in them streets or how you come up in wrestling with in school or collegiate wrestling. It's a whole nother ball game of putting it all together. You know, and when I had opportunity of being around Dory Funk Sr., and I had the opportunity of being around Fritz Von Erich and Eddie Forehead, the Sheik. And those individuals, and Eddie Graham, and those individuals taught me so much about what to do, and I was seeing the treatments, the different parts of how this one and that one are the treatment. But when I got to Dallas and Fort Worth and really got to understand when Fritz asked me to go to Florida for him because Eddie couldn't get nobody to do it, was in bad shape. I was understanding. And then Grizzly, one of the to Kentucky, said, "Both you ought to be in North Carolina." It's Crockett, Mr. Crockett, which was a great man. And that's when I really understand. I would love to break it on down from there with the fans and you and let you know everything that went on. Step by step. I got it all down on the book. I got the movie already ready. The truth. All they saying is, in politics and everything, tell the truth. All we want the truth. Give the people the truth. That's all we want.
Well, and I think this is what's interesting, because when you come with us to the fair here in just a little over a week, for the first time, and you think about this, for the first time in close to 50 years, the truth will come out. What an amazing event that shall be.
Thank God for Jesus. So, like, thank God for Jesus, and thank God for you and your supporters or your backers, because it was out there for you, and it wouldn't happen.
You know, Thunderbolt, as you have been there in your home for the last few years, what has been on your mind in the last 15 years as you've watched the story go by, the world go by?
Oh, let's break that down. 15 years. See, that's a heck of a thing, man. See, the last 15 years, I haven't been in the wrestling business. Most everything you see on me, it was made before then, or years and years ago. But the last 15 years, God has kept me, and God has shown me all of the things, not part of them, but all of the things and people that, how they done me and others, and how they're still trying to carry it on.
You know,
and how they disrupting the country.
Yeah, I'm with you. It's interesting, because one of the videos that a lot of people remember, just because it was a national talk show at the time, was the Morton Downey Jr. show.
What year was that?
I believe that was 1989.
Okay. 1989. Right, so, you see the time period. See, in 19, right after that, man, I ran a show in the Omni. They closed the building down at 8:30. Wouldn't let nobody else in it. They had more people outdoors in Martyr and Pickwood than was in the building. We had $36,000 already in the till. And they shut it down. Wouldn't let nobody else was in it. I beat the seat that night for the North American title. And ain't nobody beat me since.
You know, that's interesting.
You understand what I'm saying?
This is interesting. And I don't think I've ever asked you this before. You know, you have kept yourself... I remember the last time you were here, 2016. You have kept yourself in very good shape. You eat right. You take care of yourself. Did you ever, after... I think 1993 is when you wrestled your last match. Did you ever think of getting back into the ring for a final bout of this tremendous groundbreaking career?
Well, no. I mean, they took the best years of my life. The best years of my life. And I take care of myself the best I can. But, hey, I'm 76 years old. I'll be 77 years old July 8th. And, I never thought about getting back in the ring. I've always thought about when I was in North Carolina, and this was in, we're going on back to 20 years or so now, 30 or whatever. I always wanted to groom someone. I took a couple boys in as my son, but they never would do it. Bobby Walker and Rick Reed, I took them boys in as my son. And Bobby Walker would have been a great little worker, but he was tied with me, and they got rid of it because the racial part. the Nasty Boys. And I mean, it's deep. It's really deep.
You know, for people who don't remember, I want to bring them up to speed on this Morton Downey Jr. thing. What had happened was Morton Downey Jr. was a big national talk show at the time, and he was doing a show on professional wrestling. And you were a guest on the show talking about wrestling and a union. And I don't know if a lot of people realize
that. Talking about the injustice in wrestling, and Jim Wilson and I were trying to get a union started. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if a lot of people realize this. To this day, wrestlers are still considered to be independent contractors, and there is no retirement, there is no medical. Why do you think that industry never was able to get it done?
Well, because they was just like, look at right now, how when people get of age, they turn them out and so forth and so on. But it was money, big money, and they didn't have to do it. And everything that most of the wrestling promoter was doing was just taking advantage of people. They starting to, you know, have. Give them little things or whatever, but they never have had a pen. No, they didn't take out no money. They never did. I don't know why. It's a good question, but that Martin Downey show was set up to just try to show Jim Wilson and myself up about, and at that time I had just left the Washington, D.C. I just graduated from the labor institution. I was a union, starting to work with the union, because I couldn't get no job in wrestling. And they were trying to disgrace Jim Wilson and I on that show.
What was the reaction that you got in the public after that show aired?
After that show?
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you know, they came down kind of hard on Jim, but they didn't fool with me that Shokes or whatever, because I could whoop them all of them. They didn't fool with me, and I drew money, all of them. Any promoter that would give me opportunity or chance, I would draw money. Any of them wrestlers out there that didn't they want to be racist or want to be haters or whatever, I would whoop their butt. You understand?
Well,
so that's how that works.
Well, that brings us to an interesting question, because a lot of people in Ohio, in Detroit, in the listening area here, do remember you coming through in the 60s, 70s, 80s, even some in the 90s. And I think they wonder, because they haven't seen you since then, and here comes the fair, 2018. Is the old Thunderbolt still in there? The great guy that they love seeing, who sold out houses all across the Midwest in that era.
You know, breaking up, I didn't hear the last part of that.
That is the Thunderbolt Patterson that they saw of that era still...
Well, I mean, hear me. What I would like for anybody under the sound of my voice, just call somebody. Tell somebody. I'm still alive and kicking. I mean, I ain't what I used to be, but God has kept me. Kept me for this point. And I'm looking forward to seeing as many of my fans as I can. I thank God for you. Just call somebody. Tell somebody. Even give them the dates again. We'll be there, and just have a good old summer reunion.
We certainly will. July the 2nd through July the 6th, the Marion County Fair, Veterans Memorial Coliseum. Now, don't forget, though, Monday and Tuesday, it will be the harness racing from 10:10 in the morning until 3 in the afternoon. Thunderbolt, when we were talking before we went on air, you had an interesting fact about harness racing.
Yeah, well, you know, those Waterloo, Iowa, they make those little carts. one, that's one of the places. I mean, and then also the Raceland, Racing Hunt here in Hawkinsville, Georgia. And I've run horses on for a long time. I had a few. Got one or two left.
It's an interesting thing, and people love to watch it.
Yeah.
You know, Thunderbolt, when you watch or listen to things today, what do you like to watch or listen to?
I'm a Matt Dillon fan. I like Gunsmoke. I like them good old cowboy whips. I like horses. I like outdoors. I love that Great Northern. I've always wanted to go to Alaska. And that's it. I like the outdoors, and I like
when would you say your exit from the wrestling industry happened?
Wow. Well, so many times I left and come back and left and come back, and you know, then after a period of time, they just wouldn't use me. And I'd have to look around. I think about that a little bit, because they have it looking like I'm working all alone, never miss anything. But it wasn't like that.
When you were in
many days, I missed a many paychecks. I missed a many titles. You know, it's always talking about held this title this long. Well, if I had been in there, a lot of them wouldn't have got them that them times, or wouldn't have held. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I do.
Because it's all about that money, just like with the country. It's all about that money, prestige, and power. You know, you look at John Cena on commercials, and I mean the wrestling business. Trump with the wrestling business, no matter how the little renegades do, it'll never die. And how they just misuse the name wrestling, but they did it put on carnival shows and things. It's a hurting thing.
Yeah. Well, when the 80s came and the advent of cable television happened and the rise of Hulk Hogan and Andre the Giant and people of that nature in the 80s, what were you thinking when that was happening?
Well, I was hoping to be into it. You know what I mean? My one thing is, if I could be treated right and fair, paid right, I mean, I had the building, I could draw places. If I could have just treated me like they treated them, send them places, let me work, you know, that's all I wanted. But I mean, I couldn't work nowhere where, you know, $25, $30 or $100, can't do nothing with no money like that, man.
And
you think you got money and you... No.
Mm-mm. What do you think made that era so profitable for some guys? The Hulk Hogans, the Randy Savages, the Andre the Giants. That was a very profitable era.
Was already bought to a point. I mean, the great guys built this wrestling business. But then, I never will forget that no good Eric Bischoff, excuse me, I don't mean to be, but I had to be frank. He called me, you know, when he was taking over WCW. I went into the office, and he asked me a question. Now, this was many years ago. He asked me, what could I do for the business? And I was selling out everything. And I told him if he didn't know, and I cussed him out and walked out. But Eric Bischoff, that J.K. Dillon, they just started giving the guys money that just couldn't work at all. Just big, look good, and went to Hollywood.
Now, Thunderbolt, we have about a minute left in this broadcast, and here's what I want to do. The fair is coming up July 2nd through July the 6th. It's called a promo in the wrestling business, but tell the people, give them a reason to come out July 2nd through July 6th to the fair.
A reason? The contest, hey, that's a state fair, isn't it?
Yes.
Okay, I remember years and years ago going to the fair. What a good eating, good people, good time, rides and all. But this time, if you will, having your fun, but getting some knowledge of something that you love and know all about. Whatever you want to talk about, Scott Gaddy. Whatever you want to talk about with the wrestling and all, I'm there with you. I want to come out and show you how Scott and I, we're coming together to communicate and to just bring nothing but love and tell people nothing but the truth. So call somebody and tell somebody through the 2nd to the 6th. We're going to have a fair. We're going to have one of the old-time stomp down, getting together, learning our fellow man. And we're gonna make this area great again in the name of Jesus. Amen.
Thunderbolt, I will talk with you soon. Thank you so much for your time.
And you have a good day.
You too. Bye-bye.
Hey, Thunderbolt Patterson. We're coming back with in about 10 minutes with Bill Macy.
Car to come to work this morning.
3 minutes in, and we're already on the heater again.